Over the last few weeks, we have been discussing vision. The idea that God is conveying to us as individuals and as a community an idea, a sense of purpose, a direction for us, a goal for our lives and ministry. This is something I find incredibly exciting and equally nerve-wracking. I mean, asking God, where are we needed in this world? Asking God, call us forward into service. Asking God, all right, what's next? Is kind of a big deal. And my biggest source of anxiety amidst all of it is that God will answer us. Because the God I know has big plans for this world. The God I know has visions of love, acceptance, justice, and hope for all humanity. And the God I know has big plans for this congregation. To bring to life and embody that vision for the world. And knowing how much the world and our country and our neighborhoods and communities need that love, acceptance, justice, and hope, it's humbling to consider what God might ask of us as we say, give us a vision, O God. Last weekend, we gathered a group of leadership from throughout the congregation, a cross-section of everything from elected leadership to some very regular volunteers to some folks who are brand new to this community, people who see Highlands United Methodist Church in the world in a variety of ways. And we guided this group through a visioning process. We spent some time considering our congregational values, all the things we say and think we might be, and we looked at massive lists of them and the statements that have been made, and we talked through to decide what are our values. Four that came to the very top of the list, named over and over and over, were things like inclusivity and community and reaching out and growing in faith. So we looked at all those values, especially those four, and then we began to reflect on some of the narratives of where those values have been experienced. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, we value that. It's an entirely other thing to say, where? Where have we seen it? Where have we felt it? Where have we experienced it? And so we listened for those stories on where those values have been experienced. And then we took some time to look at demographics and data for the neighborhoods that surround our congregation. Amazing information about the people and lives that surround us all the time. Some of it we were like, yep, that's exactly what we expected. Other parts we were like, wait, what? My neighbor's who? Interesting conversation. And all of this was prep work to prepare us for the true call of our work, considering the needs and the gifts to be shared of both people who call Highlands United Methodist Church home, as well as those who surround us but may not attend. You see, every single person, whether they sit in a pew on Sunday, whether they just happen to swing in for the many activities we host, whether they're down at the farmer's market right now or just going to drive by later this week and be like, huh, old building, okay. Whoever these people are, all of us have needs as people, unique to who we are and where we find ourselves in life. We also all have something to share. God has created us uniquely as gifted people to offer something to the world. And we wanted to consider both what are everyone's needs and what do people have to offer, because I tell you, one of our needs is to share what makes us who we are. And after much prayer and reflection and lots of conversation, we distilled these needs and gifts into four main opportunities for ministry. Four places our group believed that God was calling us to strengthen our ministry and care for the people in our congregation and community in new ways. So over the next 4 weeks, each sermon will share one of the four pieces of that vision. And I mention this because I want you to be listening. You see, this vision is in process, and it will benefit from your reflection. It will benefit from your prayer, and this is essential. Our vision will benefit from your willingness to listen to the ways that God is calling you into this vision. You may hear something named and think, this is what I've been waiting for. Maybe because it's going to meet one of your needs. You might hear something and say, this is what I've been waiting for because I can offer something here. We need you to listen, and we need you to tell us how God is speaking to you about these opportunities. Because each and every part of this vision is built on the idea that our congregation and community are filled with people who have gifts to offer and needs that can be tended to. I hope you will listen for yourself, your gifts, your needs, as we share this vision. And in fact, I hope you will do more than hope. I hope you'll pray about it. I am praying that you will find your heart stirred and be ready to participate in what God is calling us to do. I've been actively praying about this every single day since we knew we would begin this process of visioning. I mean, I pray often. I pray for all of you quite regularly. But this was a new addition to my list, praying that your hearts and minds and ears would be open to hear where God is calling us, and that your leadership and I as your pastor might listen to what God is saying to you and through you. I tell you, praying for the people you pastor is a tradition as old as pastoring. The Apostle Paul prayed regularly for the earliest Christian communities. And of all things, he shared those prayers in his writing. One of my favorite prayers comes from Ephesians. He wrote this to the church at Ephesus. Hear what he writes in the third chapter. This is why I kneel before the Lord. For every racial and ethnic group in heaven or on earth is celebrated by God. And I ask that God will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of God's glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you will have the power to grasp love's width and length and height and depth together as believers. I ask that you will know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine through the power at work within us. Glory to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. This was Paul's prayer. And what a prayer it is. Asking that God would strengthen us, that Christ would live within us, and that we would experience and know the love of God that is beyond our capacity to understand, because it is. What a prayer! Grasping love's width and length and height and depth, knowing so much is not a small request. It takes some work, not only to request it, but to live and grow into it. And this is one of the things I believe God is calling us to grow into. This invitation to grow and know God's love is also one of the areas our vision work led us to. God has placed in our vision a recommitment and new growth for ways we can engage our scriptures, our tradition, our experiences, and think through what God invites us to be a part of. As I was making all my notes, listening to the group and their work, I came back to three words over and over when it came to this conversation: asking, learning, and making it our own. That's what we're invited to do in this place. To ask, to learn, and to make it our own. It's a neat thing being here at Highlands United Methodist Church. We have such a cross-section of people. We have folks here who have been in a church almost every single Sunday of their lives for generations. I mean, decade after decade after decade. They've taken every Sunday school class. They've heard every single sermon. They know it all. We also have folks who are here for the very first time of their own free will. First time picking a church as an adult. First time coming because you wanted to, not because somebody dragged you here. And interestingly enough, when I sit and have coffee or ice cream, usually ice cream, with either one of these people, I hear the same thing. I want to know more. I want to learn more. I have questions. I'm trying to think about this in a new way. From the folks that have had these conversations their entire life to the folks that are having them for the first time, there is a longing to learn and grow in what it is to be God's people in this world. So we're looking to create more opportunities for all of us to grow in our understanding, our knowledge, and our faith. I mean, looking into the scriptures, not only to learn more about them, but to ask good questions so we can engage all that God has in store. learning the traditions that have brought forth Christianity as we know it, from ways to pray to special holy days, from the things we choose to no longer believe to traditions we seek to reclaim and say this can mean something new. We want to provide regular opportunities for all of us to reflect on how we are experiencing God in our lives and create space where we can be brave enough to think through our faith. It was actually only my second sermon here at Highlands when I shared with you that I do not want to be the pastor of an answer church. Maybe you've been to an answer church before, or if you haven't, let me explain. There are churches in this world that love to tell you what the answer to every question is. And they start to fill out these answers in such a way that seems to form some sort of little box that everything has to fit in. And sometimes those answers can feel quite comforting because the questions are huge. It would be nice to have an answer, and then it's there. But then suddenly life doesn't fit that little box anymore, and the answer someone gave you and told you that's all there is to it doesn't fit the dynamics of life anymore, and you're left with nothing. I'm not a big fan of answer churches, but I desperately want to serve the people of a question church. The kind of place that is constantly looking for more depth and meaning, where questions are honored and held as we say, you're right, we should talk about that together. And anytime we might find an answer, it leads us to ask even better questions. Those questions need a healthy and intentional space that our leadership believes can come from more intentional and regular opportunities for learning. In the coming year, we will be establishing a regular schedule for class offerings. Bible studies, conversations about faith, topical discussions, and the like. The idea that we can all know that every fall, starting in October, we've got a study for about 6 to 8 weeks. And then when we get right before Christmas during Advent, we'll have a little 4-week study then. And then as we hit the new year, there'll be another 6 to 8 week study, and then another little one during Lent, and then some fun stuff during the summer. That you can anticipate and plan that there will be opportunities for you to delve in all of these areas. Sometimes Bible study, sometimes tradition stuff, looking at the world around us, sometimes topical conversations, whatever they might be. And then, in addition to the regular stuff, those things people ask for, like, ooh, I just read a new book, can we have a group? These things that are sort of responsive to whatever has come up. We also recognize that it would be helpful for us to have a good sense of where things are going and to articulate it to you so you can plan. So it's our goal to put together every few months a new preview catalog of here is what's coming up in the weeks to come. So that you can plan and say, you know what, I need to shift some things around so I can make time and be a part of this. You have the time to make it a part of your life and see what's coming up. So you can explore the topics and participate in all of the ways you can. We'll still continue to offer each class twice, once during the day and once in the evening to meet different needs and styles, but we will be expanding your ability to participate by providing virtual participation through online conferencing services. This way, if you are out of town or stuck at the house, you can participate live or even at least watch a recording of a class you missed so that no longer, oh, I'm going to miss one, I probably can't do this. We want you to be there and present and engaged. We're also excited to start taking advantage of some relationships at the Iliff School of Theology and DU and the University of Colorado to bring in at least once a year some special guest presenters with lots of letters after their names. You know, the people who know a whole lot about one small thing, so that we can sit and listen and learn about the newest, coolest things people are thinking about and talking about, and then ask really good questions. We want to do these things because all of it is to make it easier for you to grow in your faith journey. Because I tell you, there is so much about God and life and love and faith and belief. There is so much that we as a progressive congregation have the opportunity to reclaim and reframe and most importantly, embody for the world. And God has given us a vision to do so. Amen.